peace, love, blessings, and healing across the vast planet. Welcome to Healing for Humanity, the Jennifer Delencia Show on Nia2X Radio, the voice of the people. I would like to start, as it has become tradition, by paying homage to a dear sister queen and comrade. This queen has served as the manager of my vocal career. She has served as an extraordinary educator of my dear Prince Tabari. And she has just been a friend and sister for over 25 years. We have worked together for the betterment of the community and for the betterment of the world. And I am speaking of none other than our dear sister queen, Nia2X. I thank you with the totality of my heart for pushing me and prodding me for growth and development and for being the reason that I began to lift my voice on this very show. Now, family, many may ask, Sister Jennifer, the name of your show, Healing for Humanity. That's the audacity for one woman to think that she could begin to heal all of humanity. And I humbly submit, from the time I was a child, despite wars and rumors of wars and mayhem and darkness that I might have seen out of my very own window, in my mind's eye, I saw hearts and rainbows and stars and love. And I would share these concepts with the elders of the community, and I would share these concepts with a particular elder, a sacred elder to me. And I'm speaking of my dearly departed Queen Mother. I would tell her these things, and she would respond in a deep, authoritative voice, as she was known in our household and in our neighborhood and in the community, if you will, as a great authoritative figure. She was an authority figure. I would say, Mom, I think I have something to do in the world, and I see love, and I think I can make a change. And she would say, Jenny, you can't save the world, child. And I would whisper under my breath, yes, I can save the world. And I would whisper, because family, in those days when I was coming up, you didn't sass your mama or your daddy, or you may have found yourself smacked. They raised us with a certain respect. But nonetheless, I didn't know that many, many years later that I would actually be called to do my part and to lift my voice to begin to heal humanity. And family, I would say that's enough about me. I want to begin to bring on a very classy sister queen. This queen presents herself with elegance. I look up to this queen in the way in which she carries herself, the mother that she is, the business mind that she is, and this queen just keeps going despite it all. I recall meeting her finally after being Facebook friends for some time. We ended up going to a movie event with the women's group that we both are in, and I found her so beautiful in her physical and even more beautiful in her spirit. And from that time, we have grown in friendship and love. She has sown into the homeless ministry multiple times that God had called me to, and so her contributions helped lighten my load of this great world movement that I've been called on. I honor this sister queen. I welcome her, and I welcome her to share her story, and you will feel her elegance. You will feel her confidence, and she is quite extraordinary of speech. I am speaking of none other than our beloved sister queen, Maggie Bakai. Welcome, dear sister queen.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Miss Jennifer. I'm deeply humbled and honored. Thank you.
Oh, you're quite welcome. So glad to have you, as I feel that you are a wonderful representative, an example for all of us queens. And with that being said, I want to begin by you telling the story of how you became a property, or how you started, should I say, your property management company. Tell us the story of the birth of that company.
Okay. Well, I have to say that I've been doing property rental management for 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when I bought my house in 2003, I decided that, you know, it would be a good idea for me to rent the rooms. And I rented my basement. I put a lease out with the tenant, and then I did one of the rooms upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I had been doing that for some time, you know, while I was living there. Now, I haven't kept the same people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have come and some people have gone.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have two sets of new tenants, and they've been there for the last 3 years, and we all get along like
mm-hmm.
sisters.
Good.
And that has been working out very well. Now, like I said, I started out when I bought the house. I decided that it would be a great idea to rent the rooms because I have one child, and I didn't see having all this space for it to go to waste, so I decided to rent. And then in 2011, I bought another house in Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
I took some equity out of the house, and I bought another house in Richmond. And I rented that house out. But unfortunately, that only lasted me for about 8 months. It was nice when it started because it was a brand new house, not far from VCU, Virginia Commonwealth University.
And then
the person was paying, but, you know, unfortunately, they were doing some activity in my house, and I wasn't checking up on it the way I needed to. So I had to sell it because I couldn't find somebody to afford it. So as time progressed, I decided, you know what, I need to do something different. I need to, you know, move up a notch because sometimes life happens, right? So I had been going through some things with this new job, and I started there for in January, and then in the 6 months, I was having some challenges with one of my coworkers. She was supposed to be orienting me, and unfortunately, it wasn't turning out that way. So I resigned. And I said, you know, I'm tired of working somebody else's business. I'm going to work my own. So I registered my own business, and it's called Maggie B. Property Management Company. And the money that I'm getting from my tenants is part of the business. It's all part of my company that I'm working on building. And then pretty soon I'll be launching my own online course where I'll be teaching people how to build wealth through property management, and also through buying houses and renting. So that,
yes,
you know, this is something that men do, but I'm doing this because I think like a man, and I'm proud to say it. More women need to learn about how to build wealth in properties, in real estate, because it's the quickest way to build wealth if you're focused.
Mm-hmm.
If your mm-hmm. focus is doable.
Yeah.
As opposed to working somebody else's business for 20 some years and you don't, you'll only get the paycheck that they give you. They can't give you anything more than that or anything, you know, less than that. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? They just give you what they want to give you.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So that's why I decided that I'm not going to take what somebody else gives me. I'm going to earn and I'm going to go above, you know, and beyond because I'm going to determine how much I get and the sky's the limit. So that's how that started out is, you know, me having issues with my job. I decided mm-hmm. I was going to go full force in property management.
Oh, yes, indeed. Did y'all hear that fire come up in the sister? That's what I call the lioness moment. When the queen said, you know, she was having problems, but she took it into her own hands. And that is why, queen, I had to have you on the line because I tell my guests that it's 90, if not more, percent of my guests are women. And anyone who knows Sister Jennifer knows that one of my reasons for being on the planet is to bring the woman back where she belongs, to lift her up. And I appreciate your passion for what you do. I appreciate your passion for independence. And I further appreciate your passion for wanting to share that with women. And with that being said, I think you touched on it, but I'm going to let you speak a little bit more on that. In your mind, what is the importance of a woman having her very own business?
Okay. I'm glad you asked me that question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The importance is a lot of times when we're working as women, a job, mm-hmm. especially if you're a minority, black or Hispanic or what have you, mm-hmm. you're not given the respect that you so-called deserve. And I find that, at least my experience is, you know, I may have the same qualifications as, you know, a Caucasian lady, but because of my color or, you know, I'm a minority, I'm not given that advantage or that privilege. And it has mm-hmm. happened on numerous occasions, me working as a African American mm-hmm. woman. I graduated in 2000, from the School of Nursing, and I got my bachelor's. I went back mm-hmm. to school and got my master's in business administration. Now, mm-hmm. I can't begin to tell you how hard it has been for me to get an administration position as a nurse in my field. Even though mm-hmm. I have the credentials, they still will not hire me. Why? Mm. Because I don't have the connection and because we all know how that goes. If you don't know somebody who knows somebody in the mm-hmm. company, it's going to be very difficult for you to get in. And most mm-hmm. of the people who are in these top positions, it's not the minority, it's the majority.
Mm-hmm.
So who
mm-hmm.
do you think they put in these positions? So I just came to the conclusion that, you know, it's about time I become independent. It's yes. about time I learn to do things on another level. And I mm-hmm. feel like as a woman, it's important for women to be independent, because if you go back and if you really pay attention to what's going on right now, there are a lot of single moms, a mm-hmm. lot. And mm-hmm. we as sisters need to support each other, and we need to, continue to educate each other and serve each other, because then we okay. build our community. Because it comes mm-hmm. back to our community. When more sisters are educated, More sisters are career-oriented and business-minded. It affects our community because then we can give that back to our children and our children's mm-hmm. children and keep them off the street, keep them from fighting each other and killing each other, which is what mm-hmm. is going on right now. So that's the reason why I feel it's important for women to be independent, because that way we can build our community, build our family dynamics like how it was back in the 60s, where people used to work and build each other up and help mm-hmm. each other in businesses. But now mm-hmm. it's a different ball game. A lot of people are in for themselves, and we just need to go back to how things were before.
Mm. Very, very powerful and profound response, dear Sister Queen Maggie. And it's reminding me of the meeting that I was blessed to be on with you as we began to talk about the unity amongst women. And I had quoted the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that said, our unity is more powerful than an atomic bomb. You know, and so I had also commented that, you know, we may have money and we may have material things, but it is that unity that will really begin to transform our lives. Because if you talk about the 60s, I don't know how much money we necessarily had, but we had that unity. We had each other's back. And I just feel like that is what this world needs. It needs the reformation and the elevation of the female, which will balance the masculine energy that is on the planet, and it is in need of unity. Yeah. And so I thank you for having a business mind, but not just for self, but you're thinking about all of us. And that is what I believe will begin to transform and heal our homes, which will spill out into the neighborhood. It will continue into the nation, and ultimately it will transform the world. And it starts from two queens talking, relaxing and going over their lives. It starts small and it will grow if we stay unified. So I thank you for who you are. I thank you for your vigilance. I thank you for your vision and working your vision. You're an example to us all. This is the Queen Maggie.
Yes, thank you. And I also have books, too, to talk about. Should I talk about a little bit about that?
You can go right ahead.
Okay.
I'm going to let you know we're coming up on a commercial. But if you wanted to go ahead and begin to talk about that, we'll let you get a snippet, and I'll give you that moment when we're going into a commercial. But go right ahead, Queen.
Okay, yes, I was going to say that in my book called Woman Thriving Fearlessly, Volume 2, it talks about my challenges as a single mom mm-hmm. and me being abandoned pregnant and having to go through all these struggles and how I overcame them. Mm-hmm. But it's really, it's a book that will really inspire you because it will show you that there's nothing that you can't do once you put your mind to it. You can accomplish it. Despite the challenges and the obstacles that are in front of you, you can get past that, you know.
Amen.
It's just a mindset.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's correct. And, you know, I was so blessed to read your chapter in this book, giving your testimony of how you survived being left with dear King Brother Julian and how you overcame that vicissitude. And I know I've overcome vicissitudes. I began to share my testimony on this show about overcoming being molested, overcoming facing homelessness myself. I serve the homeless today. Yes, and I'm so grateful that I'm free of the bondage of shame
of the things that I walk through, that I've been set free to be authentic so that I may inspire the sister queens and the brother kings to face their challenges and hold their heads up high and to know that these enormous pains come in our lives but to make us stronger, but to make us fierce lionesses, that nothing could come in our path, that we could handle it, and to imbue power into our kings, into our lions, because it is only those down moments where we have to depend on ourselves and our Creator where we find the strength. When things are going great and we're in an up, that does not build the character and the muscle and the wherewithal to handle the challenges of life. It is only when you are pushed up against the wall or when you're bulldozed over that you rise up and find out that God lives in you and that God lives in me, and we are born to overcome these great challenges. And it's not only for us, but it is to then share the blueprint to our sister queen to the right and our brother king to the left. We don't go through these things just for us. We go through them so the next one can rise and help the children, as you noted, and help the next generation. And so I thank you for being a bold lioness to talk about the challenge that you went through birthing and rearing our dear brother King Julian. And we're going to go into that even further. I don't want to cut you off as we're going into a commercial, but I would like for you to speak as we're approaching the commercial on unity in the community. What is your take on that, Sister Queen?
Okay. Unity in the community, what
yes.
my thoughts are towards that.
Yes.
Well, I think it is a need. I think it is a need. And I think the more we come together to support each other, the better
mm-hmm.
our community is going to be. As
mm-hmm.
I talked about, you know, businesses, but also watching each other's back, you know, and your,
yeah.
and your, just even starting with where you live, you know,
mm-hmm.
Being aware of your surrounding, and if you see something that you don't normally see, you know,
mm-hmm.
talk about it, because we have.
That's right.
Yeah, we have what is called Next Door, and it's an online. Forum online
mm-hmm.
for our for our community, and if there's anything going on in our community where we live, you know, that's the forum or the online place where you can, you know, put a message in there and talk about it. And sometimes there are people that may be missing an animal or they need help with babysitting, and they need some referrals or they may need their plumbing or what have you, and you can go into that. But that right there is, you know, where we join together, you know, as a in the neighborhood to help each other, which exemplifies
yes.
unity. You know,
yes, and
you
I thank you, Queen. That time has come. I'm
okay.
sorry. We're going to pick up your point on the other side of our commercial, and you're at a profound point talking about my beloved animals. We'll be right back. This is Nia 2X Radio, the voice of the people. Hurricane Healing, y'all. That's one of my other shows. Healing for Humanity and Hurricane Healing. It's all the same. We'll be right back.
All right, this portion of the program is sponsored by our following sponsors. Please support Black-owned businesses anywhere and everywhere you can. Do you love soul food want a better way to eat and experience those amazing recipes passed down through the generations? You might not know it, but our ancestors made the best out of what little they had so that we can live life more abundantly. Divinity Soup is an ancestor-inspired recipe starring collard greens, onions, garlic, kale, and our special spice, star anise. Make this dish especially healthy and delicious. Sheila Brown created this recipe after her childhood memories of her grandmother in the kitchen lovingly cooking pots of collard greens surfaced in her mind, making her realize that being vegan wasn't enough if it meant lacking soul. Grab a free copy of her book now to get access to this wonderful vegan collard green recipe. You'll also learn about the importance of making divinely prepared meals, the significance behind cooking for your family, and why you should not ever cook while angry. You can get this and more at SheilaBrownSpeaks.com. Also, sponsored this portion of the hour is from
you
the Greater DC.
You want some fruit? Let me see.
Also, being sponsored this hour, we are sponsored by the Greater DC chapter of the National Action Network. And they say, are you a registered voter? And that is very important for what we know today that's just going on all over the place in It asks, are you a registered voter? Are you engaged with the movements taking place all over the country seeking civil rights, the Beauty and the Black Power movement, or the fight for federal voting rights protection? How about you? Are you being on top and directly involved in the push to pass the George Floyd Justice in Policing Act? There is room for thousands more to lift your voice, be heard, and make the positive difference in the lives of your family and community. Join Martin Luther King III and the Honorable Reverend Al Sharpton and the National Action Network in Washington, D.C. on August 28, 2021 for the March on for Voting Rights. We cannot afford to be disunited, especially what the Supreme Court ruled on voting rights just today, July 1st, 2021. Take time. Make time. Get more details and please register at www.nationalactionnetwork.net. And now, back to Healing for Humanity with your radio host, Sister Queen Jennifer Jalencia.
All right, family, welcome back to Healing for Humanity on the 2X Radio. I wanted to allow our dear Sister Queen Maggie to continue her point regarding unity in the community. And before I do that, I want to thank her. She mentioned that there's a community board that addresses if you should lose your animal. And this will be the first time. I'm coming up on my one-year anniversary, of this illustrious show that Queen Nia brought me on to. And this has segued into me finally speaking on a great responsibility that I've been given from the Creator to help human beings. But I am also a warrior for all life, and that is including our sacred animals, to be a voice of protection for them. And so I'm so glad that our dear sister Queen Maggie brought up the board. And at this time, I want to turn the microphones back over so that you can continue your point regarding the importance of unity in our community. Dear sister Queen Maggie.
Yes, I was going to say the importance of unity is so that we all can come together and support each other. And like I said, one of the things we have in our community is an online, it's a forum online called Next Door. And it allows people to check in and find out information in the community that they may need. For example, if they have plumbing issues or AC unit broke down, or if they notice suspicious activity in the neighborhood, they put that in. Or if a car got broken into, that kind of thing. And what we need to watch out for if we notice anything out of the ordinary, it's in that forum. Because I think, you know, it's so important that, you know, we come together and support each other. And that's one of the ways to support each other is by coming, you know, together and being able to go to that forum. That brings people together, and it lets everybody know what's going on in the community.
Wonderful, wonderful idea, truly showing unity and what it can do. So grateful for your forum. And I wanted to ask, as we continue going down the roads of your life, you know, there's a such thing as men's unity and men's empowerment. And when I first started this show, I would always ask the guests to speak to the women. But I began to understand that, you know, the woman, the mother, she can speak to the male as well. And so I want to ask you, Queen Maggie, what is the importance of male unity? What is the importance of men supporting men, kings supporting kings? What say you from the perspective of a queen?
Well, I think it's important that men support men, given that men need brotherhood. They really do. They really do. They need mentors, and they also need brotherhood. Because see, what happens is a lot of these men think they can just do things by themselves. And they don't always have the best example. They don't have the best examples. A lot of them were raised by single moms or grandmothers or grandfathers. And not by both parents. So unfortunately, the men that need to be men are not really men. And so it comes a problem in society where, you know, you have these brothers who are not stepping up. They need to step up. They need to step up. And I think that's where, brothers working together, you know, saying, hey, man, listen, you need help with this. I got you, you know. Or an older man telling a younger man that, listen, I know what you're going through. And it's all right. You're gonna make it. You're gonna get through this. But maybe you just need to do it this way, because I've been where you are, and I know, you know. Because a lot of times, men need other men, especially older men, to show them the ropes, to encourage them, to tell them, listen, maybe not this way, but this way.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Because
it's all about the unity.
Yes, it's about the unity. And that's what our brothers need. They need male mentors. They need more brotherhood, you know, because that's the only way that our families will benefit, you know. Yeah.
Indeed.
So,
indeed.
Yeah. So that's the issue that we're in right now, is that, we're lacking in that department. As far as our men, we need more brothers to come together instead of hating on each other or fighting each other or being absent. We need them to come together. You know what I mean?
Yes, indeed, yes. Queen. Said so eloquently, as you always speak. I wanted to go ahead and segue back to your books. Again, I noted reading your chapter, but it's my understanding that you have another book. Is that correct, Queen?
Yes, I have The Woman Striving Fearlessly for Mothers. That's the second book that I wrote. Yes.
Oh, yes. Tell us about that one.
Okay, so that one talks about my struggles as a mother and, raising my son without his father. And what are some of the key things you can do as a single mom raising a young black boy, especially in a society where when they're babies, they're adorable. But as soon as they become young men, they're threats to society and they're targets for police brutality. And that's what's going on right now. So I talk about how, I was able to put my son in a position where I tapped into, my brothers on helping me raise him, my father on helping me raise him, and my cousin on helping me raise him, and then in my church, because I would bring him, from the time he was 3 years old, actually, after I gave birth and I christened him, he has been in the church. And I used to bring him and tag him along. Even though he was running up and down the aisles, that's all right. He was in church, So I have to say, my baby did grow up in the church. And I talk about how it was so hard, because imagine I had to take him to basketball practice and take him places, and he didn't have his father around him to cheer him on. So I can you can imagine how difficult that was for him and difficult it was for me, because that was it. I was it. I was both mom and dad, and I had to do everything. Everything.
Wow.
Yeah. So it wasn't easy, but like I said, I talk about it in the book, how I overcame, and at the same time, now my son is in his second year of college,
congratulations.
And he's doing very well. Yes, he's doing very well. He's on his second year at St. John's College in Queens, New York. And I have to say, I'm so thankful to the Lord first and all the people that poured into that young man.
Oh, Queen. It's no doubt that he's doing well, because he has an exemplary mother. From your speech to your manner, to your love and care, and to your fortitude. And there's a saying that God gives his toughest battles to his strongest soldiers. And so you are that strong soldier. You are that example to us. And it's so evident that you've been a great example to King Julian. I'm so proud of him, and I'm so proud of you, Queen.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh, you're quite welcome. I wanted to share with the listening audience that something else that we have in common is we're both members of BAE, Beautiful and Empowered, whose head, is our dear sister Queen Tia, Catwalk Brown Eyes. I have great admiration for the group that she brought us both into that talks
yes.
about everything that we're talking about here on this show, the unity, women,
yes.
Women uplifting women, being
yes.
entrepreneurs, mothers, all of that. How did you become a member of BAE, and do you have a story or a good experience that you could share with the world with your membership of BAE?
Okay, so I was actually introduced to BAE through a friend of mine named Trianese.
Mm-hmm.
She was
mm-hmm.
the one that introduced me to Tia, and then Tia Catwalk, Brown
mm-hmm.
Eyes,
uh-huh.
she was the one that brought me into BAE.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
I came to the first meeting at Anne Seawall, Queen Anne
mm-hmm,
Seawall's
mm-hmm,
launching
mm-hmm.
of her
yes.
nonprofit, yeah, which was Moving for Jesus.
That's right.
So,
mm-hmm.
yep, and so when she launched it, that was like my first experience with BAE.
Yes. Oh,
and then,
yes.
Yes, yes. And then the second was when we had pictures, you know, the photo shoot that we had
yes.
at it was at a place, you know, they had a near a lake or something.
Watkins Park.
Beautiful. Yes, yes, in the park. It was beautiful.
Yes.
And we had to wear pink, you
right.
know, with hats. Yeah. So
yes.
That was my experience, and that's how I came to coming into BAE.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful. I didn't realize. I remember seeing you at Queen Anne's launching.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that was your first meeting. Oh, we
mm-hmm.
have so much, you know, so many common queen friends and sister queens.
Mm-hmm.
It's just beautiful, and it does my heart well, because this is what the Creator wants for us.
Right.
To care for and to promote one another and to lift one another up and to truly love on one another. And this is the day that we are in. We are moving in the time period of the world history that shunning one another, that's old world. We are moving into a new world where you will find peace on earth. And it begins by the transformation, the uplift, and the change of the female. And so
right.
I know I'm called to speak to her, and I'm called to hear from her and to share the divinity of the female and to hear her divine words as you are sharing the epitaphs of your own life and how you are a survivor and how you walk what you speak. I know Queen Maggie doesn't just talk this, she lives this. Whenever you speak with her, she's talking about business and how to bring women into that fold. And so I honor you and I appreciate you. You renew my spirit to keep going in what I have been called to do. And so it is just an honor to have you speak to the world today, dear Sister Queen.
Yes, yes.
Oh,
thank
indeed.
So for the opportunity, I am so humbled and so blessed today. Thank you.
Oh, you're quite welcome. And, of course, we would be remiss if we didn't allow you to speak on how you came about becoming an RN, a registered nurse. I know you had talked about some of the challenges that you
yes.
have faced and really overcome or even change your direction in order to meet your goals. But how did you come about becoming a registered nurse?
Okay, so when I was in high school and
mm-hmm.
I graduated from high school, my dad was the one that had told me, you know what, I think you should become a nurse. I said, well, I want to be a psychologist. He was like, well,
mm-hmm.
not with my money. And I said, okay, Dad, I'll go to school for nursing. So, because he was like, when you get out, you'll get a job. It'll be
mm-hmm.
hard for you to find a job as a psychologist. So go to school
mm-hmm.
for nursing.
So, mm-hmm.
you know, in our culture, whatever your dad says, you got to listen. So uh-huh. I went, yeah, because my parents are from Sierra Leone, West Africa.
Okay.
And they're really,
beautiful.
Really, really strong about education. And mm-hmm. so I went to school for nursing. And
yes.
then when I went to school for nursing, it took me a long time because I was dealing with my son's father at the time, who mm-hmm. was giving me a hard time, you know, I was married, first of all, because I got married when I was 19. I
mm-hmm.
met him when I was 18, and I got married when I was 19 in the court. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, of course, in the beginning, it's lovey-dovey, or, you know,
mm-hmm.
you're so
mm-hmm.
full of, you know, love and everything until
mm-hmm.
after, you know, some time, then your eyes open, and then you're like, wow,
right.
really? Is this what I got myself into?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was dealing with his immaturity, controlling behavior, insecure behavior, at the same time, his mother, you know, being very, she wasn't very encouraging. She kind of
mm-hmm.
made it difficult for me because, you know, she was all about her son. Mind
mm-hmm.
you, if I hadn't married him, he wouldn't have been able to have a visa because he got his visa through me
because mm-hmm.
he came mm-hmm. on a student visa, but he needed a permanent residency, and he
mm-hmm.
could only get that through getting married to an American citizen.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
so you know, dealing with all that was very challenging in my experience in nursing because I couldn't focus the way I needed to. So instead of graduating in 3 years, I graduated in 5 years. And I didn't get out of school the way I was supposed to. I graduated at 24 years of age when I should have graduated at 21, 22. Mm-hmm. But
glad
I graduated.
Yes.
I made it and I passed the board
yes.
the first time. So,
yes.
So those were the struggles that I went through in nursing. And then, you know, even after I graduated, they said, well, you know, we can't hire you. You don't have any experience. So
mm-hmm.
I had to work in an agency before I could get a job. To get my experience, I was working on call. And then I was
mm-hmm.
in the hospital as a nurse tech until the position as a labor and delivery RN nurse came
mm-hmm.
up. And then I started that position. Excuse me. I started that position as a new grad in labor and delivery, delivering babies.
Oh.
And so, yeah, that was my first experience as a new grad. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's amazing.
New graduate nurse. Yeah.
Oh, how wonderful. I mean, you know, to overcome all that you had to overcome and then to be placed to bring a new life, how angelic of an experience that had to be. You are truly just an amazing survivor as I'm learning more about your life. And, you know, now I know that you have international experience. I know about some from the reading of your chapter. I want to ask you, with all of that being said, what is the importance of world unity? Because it is in my mind that, you know, as we continue to grow as human beings, that we have to broaden our scope. You know,
right.
as children, we see the one little room in the living room, but then as we get older, we start to acknowledge all of the rooms in the house. And if we look at the earth as different rooms of Mother Earth, the house, our home earth, we have to begin to think globally. And I know this sister, I know Queen, I know you know what I mean, because you have a lineage and you have experience.
Right.
But with that being said, what say you on world global unity and healing?
Okay.
global unity and healing. Well, I mean, I could say, okay, well, my family is from Sierra Leone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things I have come to see when I went there in February when my grandmother passed away was that women are not treated, you know, equally. And mm-hmm. you know, their right is not as like how our rights are here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they're a lot better than it used to be, but women struggle a lot more over there than they do
uh-huh.
here.
Uh-huh.
You know, they don't have as much resources like how we have the WIC program,
mm-hmm.
where it's like
mm-hmm.
for mother and children, if you give birth, they give you milk, cheese, formula,
mm-hmm.
cereal. There's nothing
yeah.
like that back in Sierra Leone, West Africa,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then mm-hmm. What, there's no such thing as child support back there.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such
mm-hmm.
thing. If you
mm-hmm.
have a child and he doesn't want to step up, you have to take care of that child yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the mm-hmm. good thing about it is that there's a lot of aunts, uncles, grandmothers
yes.
that come together to help to
mm-hmm.
raise the children. They're very family-oriented back home. It's not like
mm-hmm.
here where it's mm-hmm. like, it's your child, you figure it out. Over
right,
there,
right.
yeah,
mm-hmm.
you get, you know, your aunt, uncle may step,
yes.
you know, your sister or your grandmother, they'll step up and take care of your child, you know. And that's pretty much how it is. But it's not as easy, though, because, you know, their system, their government system is not as great as ours is here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank
mm-hmm.
you for sharing that. And I think I shared with you that I've worked with many international family.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm
mm-hmm.
privy to some of the things that you say. And I feel that I'm called to marry the cultures, meaning that to take the good of over here in the United States that has programs and things, and to marry it to the thinking of places like Sierra Leone and Nigeria, in terms of everyone is in family. This is auntie, this is uncle, and it doesn't have to be blood, but they are referred to in a family-oriented way. So if we were to marry a family-oriented thinking along with the services here, we will begin to see equality. We will begin to see women placed where they should be. We will begin to see family. We will begin to see peace on earth if we
right.
were to marry these things. And I believe I'm called as a vessel to do these things. And so I thank you for educating our world audience on the differences, the contrasts, and the correlations between the various places on earth. And I call upon you to lift your voice and share your experiences, as you have walked many experiences to the benefit of humanity. We start here in our home, and then we spread out and share our love, our unity, our experience with all of humanity, so that this place will begin to be that peace on earth, that heaven on earth that the scripture talks about. I no longer want us to only wait, as my dear mentor, Dr. Fred Newsom said, you know, there's a promise of the afterlife, but he wants to get a promise of the here and now, the life here. And I believe you have that mindset. So let us spread that mindset to every hamlet and village, according to our great Martin Luther King Jr. Let us let this mind that was in Christ be in us, and let the people see Christ when they see us. And that is our mission. And I know you're on that path, dear Sister Queen Maggie. And as we're getting ready to land this great interview, I can't let you go without sharing your contact information with the world. They will want to speak with you. How can they reach you, dear Sister Queen?
Oh, yeah, definitely. On my cell phone, which is 240-533-1391, or my email address, which is Maggie Bocci, MaggieBocci, at hotmail.com.
Outstanding. So, thank you for that. Yes,
yeah,
ma'am.
And if they ever wanted copies, all they had to do was send me an information through my email, you know, send me their email address, and I can forward an invoice, and they'll be able to pay for the book, because I'm also promoting my books, The Woman Thriving Fearlessly, Volume 2, and The Woman Thriving Fearlessly for Mothers. So they'll be able to get a copy, provided they send me their email address, and I can send them an invoice, and that way they can pay through PayPal, and they will, you know, fill it out and their address, and I ship it to them.
Oh, wonderful, I should say. Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Queen. Everyone has the information, and I'm sure you'll be receiving emails requesting the book. And before we allow you to give final words of encouragement, I just want to remind everyone that myself and the new royal family of Advocates for the Homeless will be at our second home this Saturday at 11 a.m. at 425 2nd Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., in the service of our sacred homeless kings and queens, the Diamonds in the Rough. They go by a lot of names. The sacred of God are over there. And I encourage us not to forget, you know, there's a scripture that says, be careful how you entertain strangers because you may be speaking to an angel. And so I've been called to go and care for these angels in disguise. And I want you to join me. Please visit www.thenewroyalfamily.org, or you can easily inbox me on Facebook. I live there. I want you to call me so that we can come and pick up your kind donations, physical donations. If you would like to sow a seed, a monetary donation, please go to Cash App, $Jelencia. That's GELENCIA. Looking forward to seeing you all at 2nd and D Street this Saturday at 11. And with that, I want to turn the microphones back over to our dear sister Queen Maggie with final words of inspiration to our global community.
Yes, I would like to say that for those of you that are in troubled situations or troubled relationships, being boyfriend, girlfriend relationships or marriages that are abusive emotionally or physically, I would like to say, you know, as long as you have a God, you have someone you can lean on, and you're not in it alone. You have to look deep within yourself and know that God didn't bring you this far to leave you. He has good plans for you. He has plans to prosper you. So never give up on your dreams. Never give up on things that you want to accomplish just because of your age, or it could be a learning disability. It could be anything. There's nothing you cannot accomplish. You know, if you know, as long as you set your mind to it, you can get it done. So I wanted to leave those words of encouragement that, you know, you can accomplish anything you set your mind to as long as you stay focused, you know, you keep reading the scriptures. That helps a lot. Jeremiah 29:11. For the Lord has plans to prosper you and to give you hope and a better, you know, a better outlook or a better ending in life. So, you know, I'll leave those words of encouragement to you all.
Oh, thank you. It was water to my soul, and I know it was to our global community. Queen, I thank you for sharing your eloquence of speech, your beauty of spirit,
your beauty physically, your experience as a mother, your want for unity and your want for women to go for themselves. All of those things will make a change in our surroundings and in the world. You are a star. And I want to thank you. And I think we better let our listening audience go. I want to bid everyone adieu. That just means we'll see you later. I wish you peace, love, blessings, and healing across the vast planets.